Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number 2 on a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Mike Blewett. It's Donnie Wrightside, and we got some college football action to get to. Boy, where is the season going at this point? It just seems like we were waiting for week 0 just yesterday, and here we are cruising into the month of October. Big game here. What we thought, Mike Blewett, would have been a big game here in the month of October, Texas A&M and Alabama. This line opened up at 16.5. At the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's now 24.5 with a total of 50.5. But the bigger question here is, for the Alabama Crimson Tide, Bryce Young's status to be determined. Head coach Nick Saban says, we'll determine that on Saturday. Seems like the bettors don't care who it is right now. They are loading up on the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, does it matter if you're winning the recruiting rankings war when you face the team a couple of months later and you're an underdog by 3.5 touchdowns? Does it really matter? Does anybody in College Station, including Jimbo Fisher, feel good about the recruiting rankings at this moment? They're losing games, terrible games, and they're in a situation where they're 3.5 touchdowns to the team that they trash talked a few months ago. I think it's wild that the Bryce Young thing is lingering, but maybe this is just a little chicanery by Nick Saban. He sprained his AC joint in his throwing shoulder. This is an automatic to me. Sit him out for a week. We have bigger things on target. I think he can roll with the backup and get a comfortable win. Style points don't matter right now when your backup is the one that's playing and your starter is hurt. So I'm surprised that I should never be surprised by what Nick Saban is doing, but I think Bryce should sit and they roll with it. But yeah, I think the tie by a couple of touchdowns. I think it's too many points to lay, though, if the backup is in.
Yeah, when Saban and Fisher were feuding over the summer, you sort of circled the calendar saying, what a game this is going to be. And now you're telling me that a Heisman Trophy candidate might not play a quarterback for Alabama, and this is an over 3-touchdown spread. It's pretty amazing how quickly some of these things happen. But talking about some of this line movement here, how about Texas and Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry? This game actually opened up as a favorite here towards Oklahoma at -2.5. Word comes out that Quinn Ewers is going to be the starting quarterback. Here we are, -8.5 here now for the Texas Longhorns. Quinn Ewers back for the Red River rivalry. Are we excited, Mike, by this?
I'm fired up. I thought Ewers showed a lot of promise early in the season. Oh. It was a bummer that he got hurt, and I think the team's going to be fired up that he's back. I like this a lot for UT. I think they don't want to go through the whole season thinking that their signature win, in quotes, was a moral victory against Alabama. I don't think that's the approach that they want to take, and they should beat their big rival in this game. Everybody knows Texas State Fair, everything surrounding it. There's a lot of hype surrounding this game, no matter how good the teams are or are not. And I think Quinn Ewers comes back, gives them a big shot. So I like UT in this game.
Always like that game, too. 50-50, played in the Cotton Bowl right around the Texas State Fair. Good times to be had unless your team ends up losing or at least ends up not covering the spread. Ohio State and Michigan here, huge number in this one, minus 27. The rich get richer, as we like to say. Mike, why? Travion Henderson looking to come back for the Buckeyes versus the Spartans. Not a great season for Sparty already, and it's going to get worse on Saturday.
Yeah, Ohio State's offense feels like it keeps building momentum, and I don't know that anybody is going to stop this offense defensively. Could that be an Achilles heel when we get to the key games against Michigan and in the playoff? Possibly, but I think this offense just keeps rolling along, and I don't know that anybody's just going to stop them. They're so loaded. They recruit everyone. They don't turn anybody away, and they just play the best guys that are left.
Yeah, rolling along the key word here, and that's what we're doing right here on the early line on a Friday morning. Welcome in the radio audience, Sirius XM channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Mike Blewett, Donnie Wrightside, carrying you through. Sometimes we say, Mike, there's just not enough time, but we are going to get in as much information as we can. And how about this one? Who would have thought a monster game of the week would have been TCU and Kansas? And how about this?
Crazy.
No, I'm going to say TCU, Kansas. What's that number? 42.5 is a total? No! We're approaching close to 70. We're expecting offense in Lawrence. Talk to me about TCU Kansas here, Mike.
Let's give me the points, first of all. Home games. It's a number. Yeah. That's undefeated team. 5-0 Kansas Jayhawks. Mm-hmm. Let's give me the points. So I'll take those. I'll take all 7 of those. And let's go for the shootout. I'd love to see a close shootout. Let's get 40-35. And whichever way it goes, I'm covering. But, yeah, I like the points here. I love the fact that it's a high-scoring game because if you looked at this game even 2 years ago and saw a total like that, you would bet a hard under. But Kansas and TCU are obviously different than they used to be with Leipold and Dykes at the helms of those respective teams. So my favorite angle here is taking the points with Kansas.
How about that? When you think Kansas, you think football. Nobody thinks basketball anymore. They're Kansas, a football school. Quickly here, Hendon Hooker and the Tennessee Vols, -3 on the road against LSU, 14-1 to win the Heisman. Is he live in the Heisman race, Hendon Hooker?
Technically, yes, but we all can play this forward, Donnie. And it's
another week.
This will all come crashing down. So, yeah, it's going to get real. It's going to get real for him, LSU and Alabama. Back to back. So technically he's live right now, but I think we get it. I think they can get one more W here and keep him on the front page.
Yeah, excited for another week of college football on deck here on a Saturday. So much to get to and so much more, but we got to get you ready for Sunday afternoon. The Jets and the Dolphins, Teddy B under center. What happens with Zach Wilson? We're going to tell you all about that coming up next on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the early line. Football Friday, Major League Baseball Friday, College Football Friday, whatever Friday you want, we got you covered for. But we are going to get back to the gridiron in the NFL and preview a game here in the AFC East. That's the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets. 465-466 on the rotation. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Mike, at a -3.5 as a favorite for the road team, Miami Dolphins. We now see this line sitting at 3 and a total of 45.5. Tua Tagovailoa is not going to be playing in this football game. Quite frankly, we don't know how many weeks it's going to be before we see Tua. So Teddy Bridgewater is going to be on the center, a very capable backup quarterback. But they did lose to the Cincinnati Bengals. A little bit of an extended, you know, half of a bye, so to speak, here for them to try to get right. But last week, we saw the New York Jets with a comeback victory on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And your young quarterback, Zach Wilson, showed some moxie in that game. They're talented. They're young. They're starting to learn how to win. But the question is going to be, can they overtake the Dolphins this Sunday, Mike?
I don't think so. But I feel a little bit less comfortable with this game than I should. And I think that's because Teddy's in there. I do feel like Sauce Gardner is also preventing me from betting way into these props. I'm not sure whether to bet Hill or Waddle because I think those yardage props for those two wide receivers, I think still, we'll see what Hills are released at this week. They might finally be at a point where they're not bettable. But those have been early props to take advantage of, because this offense is just geared towards getting those guys the ball really quick in space. So whether it's, you don't have to bet the number of receptions, they're just going to be able to run with it for most of the year. And I like those two props on a consistent basis. I feel pretty good about Miami, but it is Teddy Bridgewater on the road. We've seen him throw a lot of turnovers in these types of scenarios in the past. Can the Jets pass rush really create some issues for Teddy? Sauce Gardner's great, but who's on the other side? They're dealing with two monsters at the wideout position. So I think Miami's a pretty good team. I think they've had some bumps in the road here for a lot of different reasons, much of it their own doing with the Tua scenario, but they did knock off the Bills in a wild game and then had to come back a few days later and play the Bengals. I thought that was a tough spot. But even all that said, Donnie, people look at the final score of that Bengals-Miami game. That was a game with 4 minutes left. They lost their starting quarterback. That was a game with 4 minutes left. They hung in there. They just didn't have enough. I'm leaning towards Miami, but again, this is another divisional home underdog, and that's usually a profitable position.
Yeah, we'll see if they can, you know, come back from that injury and the devastation. It was nice to get that de facto mini-buy, and also keep in mind when you're backup quarterback during the season, you don't take very many snaps with the first team here. So obviously a week and a half there, Teddy Bridgewater knowing he's going to be the starting quarterback as opposed to saying, hey, kid, just stay sharp on the sideline here, and if we need you during the game, we'll call on you, even though you haven't took many reps in practice over the week. We'll see if that actually helps the Miami Dolphins, but a lot better weather in the Northeast this weekend than we saw last weekend. So we'll see if some of those wide receivers, as you talked about on the Dolphins on that fast turf surface of MetLife Stadium, if they might be able to get around. Now, let's take a look at the next game here. Looking for a bounce back effort for at least one team here. 467, 468 on the rotation. 1 o'clock football game this Sunday. And it's the Chargers and the Browns. Justin Herbert injured a few weeks ago, trying to shake off that rib injury 2 weeks ago. Didn't look all that good. Looks like they got back underway against the Houston Texans, and maybe that was a launching point for them. The Cleveland Browns went on the road and had some questionable calls out of the head coach and questionable play out of their team in a loss to the Atlanta Falcons. If we take a look at where this line opened up, a -2 point favorite here for the Chargers on the road. We're now seeing that at 2.5 and a total of 47.5. We're not sure if Keenan Allen is going to be playing in this game, so maybe it's all back on Mike Williams. But Eckler last week, a few touchdowns scored against the Texans. But this is one of those games where if you're trying to hang around being the Cleveland Browns until Deshaun Watson gets back, you got to win these type of games this week, and similarly last week, which you let slip away against the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, I don't feel overly confident about it. Let's give me the Browns outright in this one. I think they bounce back with a nice W here. They're getting Myles Garrett back. And I think that I can't trust the Chargers right now. They're a very difficult team to trust. I know they went on the road and got a win last week, but it was against a winless Texans team. I'm going to take the Browns. I have liked the way Jacoby Brissett has played overall, and I think he can hang in there. I do think this is a close game, and a field goal probably decides it, but give me the Browns outright. I have to start picking some home dogs, and this is one I'm going to take.
Yep. There you go. And I tend to agree with you at this point, too, because sometimes you like one of those losses that you should have had. You should have refocused. And one of the things that I thought last week would be a boon here for the Cleveland Browns on the road was Amari Cooper. And he had 9 yards receiving in that game. So what do they do? Come out this week and say, that's unacceptable here. He can't have 9 yards. We got to get him the football, because when you're working in tandem with that running game and offensive line, it should open up everything. We'll see if that plays into it. And also keep in mind, still, the Chargers a little bit banged up coming into this game. We'll see if Justin Herbert's ready to go here on the road and take care of business. One of the more fascinating games of the week might not have all that much star-studded power on offense, but how about this one? 469-470, the Detroit Lions go on the road to take on the New England Patriots. Now, immediately we look at, is Mac Jones going to play? Probably not, I would say, but he's trying to get back in there. Is Brian Hoyer going to play? Nope, he's out with the concussion, which might leave the first NFL start for Bailey Zappe, the rookie quarterback for the New England Patriots. This line actually opened up at a -1 here for the Patriots, but now we've seen it go over a field goal to -3.5 and a total of 45.5. Looks like Detroit can score, but can't stop anybody. But just because you have a bad defense, you do need some talent on offense to exploit that. I think this game is fascinating, Mike. Which way are you leaning here? Lions-Patriots on Sunday.
Looked at every angle of this game doing some research last night, and it's a hard one for me to figure out. Bailey Zappe, I have to give him a lot of credit for performing the way he did in a hostile environment in Green Bay and coming in the middle of the game. Yep. But I'm not that bullish on him as a player. And I just think that even though I'm not, a soft landing for a home game in mm-hmm. Gillette is just what the doctor ordered. We got Belichick going up against Dan Campbell. Ben Johnson's offensive, as the offensive coordinator of the Lions, has done a great job this year. They're obviously scheming guys to get them open. We're probably getting some guys back for the Lions. They're very banged up last week, so they're going to have more weapons. Can the Patriots hold up defensively, and can they win a shootout? I think Bill's going to do everything he can to take the air out of the ball. Heavy Stevenson, heavy Harris, try to limit the number of plays that the Lions have. So if I can take an under on the number of plays that the Lions will run, I would probably do that. Bill's going to force it, but can they be explosive in those limited amount of plays with Amon-Ra, St. Brown, and anybody else that they're getting back?
Yeah, it was interesting last week because I don't know if you're even going to get St. Brown back in this game. That ankle injury kept him out of last week, and the same thing with DeAndre Swift. The offense really moved the ball well. Now, granted, you're at home playing the Seattle Seahawks, which nobody thought was the 78 Steelers heading into this season. We thought they would be a little bit down. Now you're going to go and have a level up in competition because the Patriots and Bill Belichick, they're going to scheme correctly in this one, and typically Bill Belichick says, I'm going to take away what you do best. Well, I don't know. Is that T.J. Hockenson? He's not exactly a superstar player like a top wide receiver that you would have to shut down. I think it's going to be an interesting cat and mouse game. The one thing that always throws you a little bit off when you're betting, or at least betting against or even for the Detroit Lions, is Dan Campbell's a little bit of a wild card. Does he take the points? Does he just go for it? Does he onside kick? Does he feel the need? Which usually helps, Mike, in a total scenario. Because I know if you're looking at the under in this game, you look at Detroit and go, oh, well, they're going for it. It's fourth and one on their own 29 in the second quarter. Like, what are they doing? Like, they might actually do that too here in this point. But if we're looking from maybe a prop perspective, is there a guy you might be singling out in this game? As you said, like the running game here for the New England Patriots, getting a lot of touches that you might be looking at?
Yeah, Jamal Williams had a great game last week too.
Yeah.
I know DeAndre Swift is unlikely to come back for this one. You mentioned him on Ross St. Brown might not come back, but Swift's not back. They don't really lose that much in the running game. Jamal Williams, an extremely capable back. He catches a ball. He runs a ball. So you're going to look for some combined yardage totals there and maybe even an anytime touchdown. He's somebody that they're not afraid to give the ball to down near the goal line.
Show keeps rolling on. NFL action. Yeah, it's a Football Friday. We got you covered. I'm ready to put on my helmet and line up this Sunday and get after it here. San Francisco, Carolina on deck next. Baker Mayfield. How many more starts, kid, do you need? Come back. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are watching The Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Mike Blewett, Donnie Wright's out here in the morning on a Football Friday as we cruise through the NFL gridiron action for Sunday afternoon. And the game we land on now, 471-472, a 405 game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Carolina Panthers. Setting the table for this one, a -3.5 opening number for the San Francisco 49ers is quickly turned into a -6.5 total on the board, dropping as well. 42.5 now sits at a 38.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. So we're looking at two teams going in the wrong direction here. Or at least I should say in opposite directions. San Francisco on the way up. Carolina, what are you doing out here in these streets here with Baker Mayfield? The question brings up, Baker Mayfield takes the field, the boos rain down. Matt Rhule, Baker Mayfield, not a lot of job security right now. Mike Blewett.
Well, the Panthers did come out and say that Matt Rhule was going to be here long term and they were going to be patient with him a couple of weeks ago. Do you believe that?
No.
I do not believe it either. I think this game's going to get really ugly. I think Baker hasn't played well at all. And you can blame him, you can blame Matt Rhule, you can blame the offensive coordinator, you can blame whoever you want. I think this is the Niners defensive line and Nick Bosa, who I think is potentially on a defensive player of the year campaign. I think he's going to get after it. He got after it. He got after the Rams the other night. I think he's going to get after it. We'll feature this one a little bit later in the pick six, but I like the Niners here. And yes, 6.5 points is a lot to lay on the road, But like Donnie said, these teams are going in opposite directions. Color me surprised if the Panthers hang in there, but they are now 1-26 when their opponent scores more than 17 points or more in the Matt Rhule era. 1-26 if the opponent just gets to the 17 mark. The Niners are going to get there, and I think they're going to get a bunch more. I don't know if the Panthers are going to be able to do anything offensively. I think this one's a blowout, Donnie.
Like, if we're building a case, let's just say, to try to take the Carolina Panthers, like, what is the case built upon? Is it just the 49ers come in and say, well, it's a game where you just played your rival, the Rams, in prime time. Now you got to come east a couple thousand miles. It's not even an early kickoff. We could play it off and say it's a 1 o'clock kickoff. It's actually 4 o'clock. So technically that would help the 49ers a little bit more getting used to that body clock. But the defense is so much better on the 49ers. The only thing you could say is the 49ers took this for granted, didn't really press the issue, and always had them at arm's length by about 7 points the entire way, and late in the game where Carolina still hung around. But how many times do you have to see the batted down passes or just the missed wide receivers or the stupid turnover out of Baker Mayfield? And I actually was giving him a little bit more credit coming into this season than what I'm getting from him now, Mike. Yeah.
So was I. So I'm with you. I'm surprised he's been this bad. And if you want to make a case, well, Christian McCaffrey is so explosive, the Niners limit explosive plays better than anybody in the entire league.
True.
He's so not true. Going to get an opportunity to be explosive. Big plays happen. I mean, it's not a guarantee, but the Niners do a better job of limiting explosive plays, especially in the run game, than any team in the league. So your McCaffrey props, those are unders most likely this week. Mm-hmm. It's a volume play for him. It's not going to be explosive plays. And I don't know what the case is. I can't make a case. I looked at this game for a bunch of different angles. You'll see in the pick six the way that I went.
Yeah, how about this too? FanDuel, if you're listening out there, an odds boost in this game. How many tipped passes Baker Mayfield has over 2.5? Give us a nice plus money on that, and we might be able to get that in the first quarter, it seems like here. Things certainly aren't looking good there for the Carolina Panthers, and maybe the San Francisco 49ers are on their way to a possible division title, and off into the playoffs they go. But the question is always, how does Jimmy Garoppolo stack up when you need him to win a football game for you in the playoffs? That's another story. Probably don't need him to do all that much against the Carolina Panthers. This might be the best Friday show I've had in a long time, Mike Blewett, so credit yourself for being here. But maybe it's just the Philadelphia teams that we talked about. Good vibes around the Philadelphia Phillies in the playoffs. And how about this? Those Philadelphia Eagles, the last unbeaten team in professional football, takes the field at 425 for a primetime game out west against the Arizona Cardinals. This line, Mike, opened up at -3.5, now rises to a -5.5. And I got to tell you, in the past, I would say, what are you kidding me here? You got to take the Arizona Cardinals. But the Philadelphia Eagles are passing every test that comes in front of them, including last week, down 14 points in a monsoon at home, a team that's just saying, no, we're a decent football team. You lose that, you say, what did you want us to do, Mike? We were down 2 touchdowns. They win that game. I expect them to win this game and cover this week against the Cardinals here.
Beyond that, because you're the Philly guy, so I got to ask you a Philly question.
Come on now. Yeah,
they're going to be favored in every game for the rest of the year, right?
Woo-hoo-hoo. Oh, this is greatness.
The Packers come to town November 27th, and their schedule right now is Arizona, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Houston, Washington, and Indianapolis. That's before they play the Packers.
Yeah.
They're going to be favored in that game. And they're going to be favored in every other one. Unless Dallas is way better than we expect, then at Dallas on Christmas Eve, maybe it's tight. But I don't see that happening. So they're going to be favored in every game for the rest of the year. The Philadelphia Eagles have an opportunity to have the best record in the league. I was right there with you. I heard what your Super Bowl pick was, and I went Packers at the last minute, but I feel a little more confident if it were the Eagles right now. I do like the Eagles in this game. I just can't expect the team to come out firing on all cylinders in every game. There's going to be a dud somewhere along the way. They're not going undefeated. Is this the game where, all right, this one was a little tighter than we anticipated? That 5.5 crooked number scares me a little bit. It's not that I don't think the Eagles are a lot better than the Cardinals, but the Cardinals have scraped out a couple of wins, and I just wonder if this is the game where there's a little bit of a letdown coming off a nice high after handling the Jaguars in the way that they did.
Yeah, I had a cheap bottle of champagne for about a decade in my refrigerator just waiting on the Philadelphia Eagles at any moment to win a championship, and they did. I might have to go out and buy another cheap bottle of champagne to celebrate not only the 72 Dolphins passing them through with a 17-0 season and then winning the Super Bowl. Maybe two bottles of champagne, Mike Fluitt, are on deck in the DRS household over here. Let's keep moving here. Dallas and the Los Angeles Rams. Fantastic game here to line up because why? Cooper Rush has been really good as a backup quarterback going up against the Rams, who this season – Super Bowl champions last year, a little bit of a sluggish start, can't get out of their way. It seems like the Cooper Kupp show and nothing else here. Let's see what happens. But if we line up this game, opened up as a -6 point favorite. We actually saw it as low as 4.5, but now bouncing back to 5.5 as a favorite for the Rams. Do we expect more Cooper Rush magic in this game? Or is this one of those games where the Rams have to have and they'll get it because it's Matthew Stafford versus Cooper Rush?
I mean, the Rams do have to have it, but they've looked terrible offensively. To just have. Stafford hasn't looked good at all. Nope. Thank God for Russell Wilson if you're Matt Stafford, because there hasn't been as much focus on him. I guess Baker can thank him as well. All the focus on bad quarterback play has been on Russell Wilson. So Matt Ryan and Baker Mayfield and even Matt Stafford are benefiting from this. I think it's too many points. Maybe I'm crazy that Cooper Rush can keep it competitive on the road, but Dallas is playing a little bit of a different style of football, and it's a winning style of football. It's not flashy. My favorite angle in this, I'm going to keep betting CeeDee Lamb over yardage props as long as I can. The number has still been too low. We'll see what it bumps up to this week, but I think they keep it close. I'm not guaranteeing a Dallas win. I'll take the points here because I still think the most underrated coach in the league, Donnie, is Dan Quinn. He's really helped to fix this defense over the last two years. And obviously the addition of Micah Parsons is greatly assisting that effort. But I think Dan Quinn is the best coach on that staff. And I think Dan Quinn is absolutely a head coach in this league. People are always going to remember 28-3, but it doesn't mean that he's not better than half the coaches that are in the league right now. I think he's really helped them. And this style of play that they're adopting with Cooper Rush is allowing them to win. So give me the points here, even though I don't necessarily think it's an outright win for them.
Feels like a de facto head coach there with Dan Quinn. But quite frankly, Cooper Rush saving Dak Prescott maybe from himself here, giving him that time to heal up that he needs. Sunday Night Football is going to be a barn burner. 477, 478, Cincinnati and Baltimore. Joe Burrow taking on Lamar Jackson. I think you've asked the question and asked it well. What are we actually getting out of the Baltimore Ravens, and what type of team are they? 3.5 is a favorite here, 47.5. Which team steps up, the first three-quarter team or the team that folds down the stretch here, Mike?
Yeah, they're a very difficult team to bet on right now. These fourth quarters have been a mess. They look like the Chargers in the fourth quarter. That Patriots game was really close, even though it's an 11-point win. That Patriots game was close. They had to score a touchdown late to put it away. That's a 31-26 game with a few minutes left against a Patriots team that we don't think is all that exciting. And I think that's the game that Mac got knocked out of. So there was a lot going on in that game as well. And then the two blown leads late. So I'm going to take the points again here. I think it's a very tough divisional game. Two teams that would probably both agree that are not playing up to their standards. And I think these are the two teams slugging it out for this AFC North title. I think the Browns are in the background on that discussion long term. But I'll just take the points here, understanding that Lamar can just take over and put this game away. But I think we're going to see some points here, Donnie. I think Higgins, Chase are live, as they always are, on their yardage props. I think you have an opportunity here for Joey B. To play well, at least keep it close, even if they don't get the outright win.
Yeah, this is a big game for that division. I mean, the winner is going to have an advantage over the other team, but just interesting to see, like, Baltimore, such a good home team that has really struggled at home just closing games out. You figure they had the perfect offense to do that, and they haven't been able to get it done. But coming up next in the next segment, the pick six is coming up here for us that we do each and every Friday right here on the Early Line. And also, true or false, back page news stories? Yeah, we got you covered.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Who's ready to have some fun here on the early line? Well, Mike and Donnie certainly are, because we got the heat coming to you right now with some picks and also some headlines that you might be seeing on your back page on Monday morning from the NFL. Without any further ado, we're going to hit the pick six each and every week. A couple plays that we give out, we try to keep it the same, and also different wagers at the same time. I'm ready to kick it off, so let's go here. Touchdown score this week. It's like an Achilles heel for me in this market. I'm going with Dalvin Cook of the Minnesota Vikings at a minus 125 price. Typically, I like to take a plus money, but I can't seem to find my way around and cash one of these tickets in. If Dalvin doesn't come home this week against the Bears, I just can't pick any winners in that. But the one thing I can do, folks, and I can provide for you, is the money line dog. I'm going with those New York Jets at a plus 146 price. You say, Donnie, you're crazy. Why would you take them over the Dolphins? Well, hear me out. Over the first 4 weeks, Bears, plus 250. Yeah, cash that one in. The Jaguars, plus 166. Cash that ticket. The Colts, plus 200. Cash in that ticket, and also the Seahawks last week at a plus 176 price. Cash that ticket. 4-0, looking for 5-0 there, and the Jets are going to guide me to that 5-0. The under, the Bills and the Steelers under 46.5. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to score points. I'm just questioning what we have at the table here for Kenny Pickett and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll take the under there. The alt line, Packers, -13.5 over in London at a plus 150 price. Why? I don't know where the points are coming from here for the Giants. You might be able to get 14 points and cover the 13.5 this weekend against those football Giants. Yards prop, Jeff Wilson, it's not up yet. I do have his yards rushing prop to the over in this game. I figure that this is going to slow it down. You figure that Carolina can't score. The running game will heat up there for the San Francisco 49ers. And finally, my teaser game. I'm going to double down here. Packers ain't losing that game. Give me them -2. Mike Blue, it's Friday. What is your pick six?
I love it. I love those choices. I didn't know we could double down, so I mixed it up here.
Yep. Don't worry about it. Different games.
Okay, good. No rules. I'm not a rule follower, so here we go. All right, we're going to start it out with my touchdown score. I'm going to go with Chris Olave here. He scored a touchdown in his last game, but he's got 27 targets over the last three games. He had the touchdown last week. I understand it may be Dalton over Jameis, but I just like that possibility for them. I think that the Olave with Michael Thomas out is a real passing option based on the number of targets, and I think they trust him down in the red zone. Kamara looks like he'll be back, but Seattle Seahawks defense hasn't been anything to write home about, so let's go with Chris Olave there. Next one, Moneyline dog. Sorry, I didn't get too cute on this one, but I did say Browns outright a couple of segments ago, so I'll go with the Browns here. Just plus 114. They're catching 2.5, so I think anytime you have that opportunity, a little sprinkle on the spread, and then let's go with the outright bet here. I think Jacoby Brissett and the Browns bounce back. I don't think they're the bumbling team that we saw against the Falcons, and I think the Chargers coming into town might be challenged still with all of their injuries. Get a good road win, getting it out of the way against Houston, but playing a much better quality team in the Cleveland Browns. So the Browns get the W. The under, I'm going with the Giants and the Packers. I think the Packers could conceivably do it on their own, but as I mentioned earlier in the show, they are very slow on pace of play. They're only averaging 55 plays a game on offense, and I think the Giants are a tough team to bet with. They've scored a season high of 21 points. They're not putting up a lot of points, and I don't think they'll do it this weekend. So on the whole, I think it's a low-scoring game. The Packers get away with the win. Donnie thinks it'll be a blowout, and I think it could happen. So it's tough to marry a blowout with an under, but I don't think the Giants are going to be able to score any points. Tyrod Taylor on the practice field this morning, no sign of Daniel Jones. So I think that's telling you what we may see in London. Alternate line, I have the Niners. You mentioned a blowout for the Packers. I'm going a blowout for the Niners. Two teams headed in opposite directions. Get the Niners up to 9.5 points so they get a double-digit win. I don't care if it's not all that pretty. But give me 27-17 or 24-14. That gets the Niners a 10-point win. That's at plus 128. Yardage prop, you have to look for it on FanDuel, but it's probably going to be right in this range. This is where it was last week, and I took a look at some other books to try to come up with a number, and looks like it should be in that 53 to 55 range. I'd bet it under, It doesn't mean that he can't catch a bunch of passes and get there for yardage, but I don't think he's going to get there on the rushing side. Niners really limiting explosive plays on the year. Shout out to the Sharp Angles podcast with Warren Sharp. They gave me a little bit of insight into this one, so I'm going to bet it under on the yardage prop. And the teaser, I'm going to tease the Vikings down. Takes me out of play, Donnie, with any weirdness that happens with the Vikings and Cousins throwing turnovers. I just want to get the Vikings into a position where they can win this game, and I think they'll do it. I cannot see the Bears getting a W here, so teasing that one down is helpful for me.
There you go. Let's go ahead and take our teasers down here. Have some fun. But that was the pick six here, which we do every Friday. Hopefully profitable again. And I would love to see a nice little Cleveland Browns victory there for a money line dog winner there for Mike. And of course, the New York Jets here at a plus 146 price to cash in that ticket. Let's have some fun. This could be from The Onion or this could be the back page of the New York Post, depending on which teams we're banking on this weekend. How about this as a Monday morning headline? Barkley carries the Giants to victory. How likely, Mike Fluitt, is that going to appear on your back page on Monday?
Based on what I just went through in my pick six, I'm hoping it's highly unlikely. And what you just went through as well, you're expecting a 14 or 15 point win. I'm expecting the Giants to not be able to score. So yes, this would surprise me greatly. This would be like a 9 out of 10 surprise, NFL surprise.
Writing on the football funnies there, The Onion, whatever it may be. How about this one? Geno Smith is the future in Seattle. He might get a big deal after this game. He goes on the road and wins in the Dome. My goodness, we finally found our quarterback here for Geno. Could that be a headline, Mike, on Monday morning?
It would surprise me if it said he's the future, but it really would not stun me if this Hawks went on the road and got a W. I think it's a lot to ask for them. And with Jameis out and perhaps the offense being a little bit more conservative, maybe that does help them. I thought Dennis Allen would have an opportunity to be successful, but like I said earlier in the show, I really think the loss of Sean Payton was underrated by people that were backing the Saints. Geno's been really good, Donnie. That's the reality of it. This isn't smoke and mirrors. Geno's been good. Mm-hmm. The team isn't good, but Geno has been, and he's got three weapons in the passing game that he can utilize. Even Will Disley has been good at tight end. So it wouldn't stun me, but I don't think he's the future.
You want to fire up those Steelers fan base here. You know what you do? How about this headline that shows if you wake up, you wipe the cold out of your eyes on Monday morning? What is this? Pickett picks apart the Bills. The Bills get upset by the Steelers? My goodness. What's the odds that that happens on a 14-point spread here? And Kenny Pickett, the new king of Pittsburgh.
Donnie, do you want me to wave the terrible towel right now? Let's lock it in.
Pickett see
picks
that?
Apart the Bills. Let's go.
Cheer it on right there as it happens here. And all but about this, a little throwback to AEW wrestling. The Jaguars have arrived. Is that going to be the headline here after the Jaguars beat the Texans? And maybe they have their eyes on a division crown.
I can't believe this division is as bad as it is.
It is.
But the Jaguars, to their credit, haven't been bad. You know, they're 2-2. Like, if the Jaguars ended up the season 9-8, you'd be like, wow, really good season. And it could actually win them the division. That's the rub, is that the 9-8, sort of like, okay, nice job by Doug Peterson, could actually win them the division, and Trevor Lawrence gets to play in a playoff game. Like I said, long term, all these free agent signings generally don't mean anything. But, yeah, they think they can be in control of the division after this weekend. 3-2.
How about that? The Jaguars trying to make the playoffs here. I always thought Kevin was joking in the preseason. He's like, you know what? I think the Jags can win this division. Settle down over there, kids. Settle down. Maybe he was on to something at this point here. Here's what I need to see on the back page. Teddy doesn't cover because the Jets actually won outright over the Dolphins. Make it happen for me. I need this to happen. I need 5-0 here, Mike. I need it.
I could see it. Is that why you're betting into the Jets this week? Is it because of Teddy?
I put not much like effort into it. I wake up on Friday mornings and pick, which is why they're actually winning here. It was just like, ooh, the Jets are at home. It's a short line, backup quarterback. I'll take a flyer, and I don't want to think about any more of it there. That's how it's been working for me.
Okay.
How about that?
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, you're 4-0, so how could I argue with that? I really understand why you're picking the Jets. My concern, yeah. And Zach gave them a lot of juice, but it didn't look good for three quarters. And their two wins were really, I mean, they snatched defeat. They snatched victory from the jaws of defeat in both games. The Browns game hadn't happened in 21 years, a game like that. Yeah. And the Steelers game, they were aided by three second half interceptions by a rookie quarterback. Zach was good in the final two scoring drives, but when do the Steelers blow 10-point leads at home? Never, especially in the fourth quarter. And it took a rookie quarterback and QB change. Their best player is out. Their other best defensive player left the game. Cam Hayward left the game. Everything went sideways for the Steelers, for the Jets to get that win. I give them credit. They earned it, but I'm worried that this is a little bit of fool's gold with the Jets, and they still have a long way to go to get right on both sides of the ball. But good young weapons, obviously, can keep them competitive.
Maybe the best back cover right here. How about this one? The Lions zapped or zappied by the Patriots here, meaning that Zappy's going to have to play in this football game and beat the Lions. They're favored in this game. I think Zappy gets the start. This actually could be the back page up in Boston.
Absolutely. I will say this. I don't watch a ton of preseason football, Donnie, but I watch Bailey Zappe, and I remember thinking, and I'm not a talent scout, so my opinion doesn't matter. I remember thinking, like, this is not going to work. He's underthrowing everything. He looked terrible. He looked terrible when I watched him in the preseason. And I know all of the stats and the 60 touchdowns at Western Kentucky, and God bless, but I saw him in the preseason. I was like, this guy cannot play. He's not going to make it. And here he is. And he almost took down Aaron Rodgers, and he's got a shot to win his first game. I think that's a very, I think that's a possibly likely headline because of all the Lions injuries.
How about this headline? Rivera fired after Titans debacle. It's not looking good down there for the Commanders. Now, look, probably I doubt they're going to fire Ron Rivera midseason this early, but my goodness, turn it around, Commanders.
I mean, can you imagine if he gets fired a second time midseason? He got fired midseason by the Panthers, a place he was at for a long time. He came here to turn things around because he's a gentleman, he's a professional, all this. Mm-hmm. If they fire him in the middle of a season, that would be, I mean, that would be very Commanders-like, to be honest. But I don't think it will happen. The debacle will fall on his shoulders to some extent. But it'll be about Wentz. If they get crushed, it's because Wentz turned the ball over a bunch, and it's just going to be Carson Wentz getting kicked around by a third fan base.
It just looks bad down there. Quickly here, no rush to make changes in Dallas after a win. So if Cooper Rush takes that there, maybe extend Dak off for even another week after that. But I got to tell you, it's a lot of fun here on a Football Friday with Mike Blewett as my right-hand man today. So thank you for joining us and rising and grinding early in the morning. Enjoy the rest of your football day here, because I got some business to handle. Go Phillies!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the week right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Today, Mike Blewett and me, Donnie Wrightside, carried you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after and the rest of your Sports Grid day. Action-packed show today. I'm very excited that the Major League Baseball wildcard playoffs do start today. Four action-packed games on a Friday. Previewed some of the action that's going to take place on the gridiron on Saturday. And, of course, a full and comprehensive breakdown of NFL action on Sunday, hoping those New York Jets pull the upset so I can go to 5-0 this year on Moneyline Dogs. But I got to tell you, excitement here for the Denver Broncos that we were hyping up and ready for and maybe having a Super Bowl run. What the heck is going on in Denver? Listen up. Here's a quote from the Denver Broncos quarterback, Russell Wilson. It's very simple. At the end of the day, I've got to be better. I've got to play better, Wilson said. The defense played their butts off tonight, and we had some key drives, but at the end of the day, throwing two interceptions, that can't happen can't happen. I let the team down tonight. I mean, what is going on here? We thought the only thing the Denver Broncos needed was a competent quarterback, and on the way they go into the playoffs with maybe an outside chance of winning a Super Bowl, at least a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson. He was horrendous last night. The Denver Broncos have been horrendous all the way through the season on the offensive side of the ball. Let's just take a look at last night's game. If you were to come in, you get out that crystal ball that I like to get out and ask you questions. Crystal ball, tell me, if the Indianapolis Colts don't score a touchdown, what's the winning percentage for the Denver Broncos in that game? Should be 100%. The Colts didn't score a touchdown on the road without their best football player and still beat the Denver Broncos. And my goodness, convert a fourth down at the end of the game in overtime to win that thing. But also, how about in regulation? Russell Wilson throws that interception in the end zone. If you just hand the football off, run it down to the two-minute warning, kick a short field goal, you go up six. And last time I checked in that game, nobody scored a touchdown. So you thought maybe the Colts would drive 75 yards and score a touchdown? Man, that wasn't happening. Outrageous stuff in Denver. What's going on? I don't know, but they better fix it quick. One thing you have to do is make sure you stay tuned. Ben Stevens coming up next, right here on The Grid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.